First of all, I need to apologize that last week I didn't say a shir. I was, for some reasons, I was very, very, very toggled, and I don't want to say a shir stam without preparing it correctly. So I really try to put koichos into preparing a shir, and so I thought that it's better perhaps to not say than to say in a non-bekovetike kind of way. That it's not lefi the covet of you and the covet of the Rabbeinu Shlom to stam say something. So I think it's important to prepare these shiurim profoundly as much as that shayach, and to try and do one's best. So towards the end of Bereshis over here we have Vayikro Yaakov El Bonav. Vayomer he osafu va'agidu lachem es asher yikro eschem va'acharis hayomem. So the Rabbeinu Shlom, the Yaakov Avinu calls his bonov, his children. Vayomer he osafu, gather together, va'agidu lachem es asher yikro eschem va'acharis hayomem. And I want to tell you what is going to happen to you at the end of days, which presumably is the Yemai Samashiach. Now, what exactly is going on over here? Now, before I tell you what I think the Pasuk is saying, I want to read to you a couple of lines from Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch on Hei Osfu. I find it very, very interesting, because later on, he says, he kovetsu. So there's he osfu and he kovetsu. Osaf and kovetz. So Shansvalez, as always, like he never lets anything like go without being ma'ain in it. It's a meigodik, a sefer. But I just want to be mitmaked over here on he osfu. So he says over here at the beginning, he osfu and he kovetsu are not identical in meaning. Okay. So what exactly does he osfu mean? I'm not interested now to go into the whole arichus over here, what the difference is. Let's concentrate on he osfu. And so he says like this, osaf means to remove something from an alien sphere, from a place where it does not belong, and gather it in where it does belong. In other words, osaf means bring something in where it can be its own pure self, separated from everything which is unimportant. Again, osaf means to remove something from an alien sphere. Take it out of that mokom over there, which is really alien to it. Right, to remove something from an alien sphere, from a place where it does not belong, and gather it in where it does belong. Osaf is related to ozav, which means to disengage from everything alien and inappropriate. Time now in the shir to explain the system which Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch uses throughout his Perush and Tanakh, how the words in Lashon HaKodesh are formed. But you know that letters are grouped, and that within group, his shita is that the meanings are related to each other. For example, over here, Osaf is related to Ozav. Now, what do you mean it's related to Ozav? Ozav is with an Ayin, Osaf is with an Aleph. Ozav is with a Zayin, and Osaf is with a Samach. Ozav is with a Beis and Pei, and Osaf is with a Pei. So what do you mean that they're related to each other? Not a single letter is the same. Yeah, but the Ayin and the Aleph belong in the same group. The Zayin and the Samach belong in the same group. And the Beis and the Fei, the labials, the ones that you pronounce with your lips, they are the same group. So therefore, the two words are related in meaning. And just like ozav means to forsake something, to give up on something, to go away from something where you don't really belong, So Osaf looks at it from, well, where are you going? You go to a place where there's nothing to take you away from your main tachlis. Very, very magadig zar. So what he's saying over here, Shamsh Vahirsh continues, thus he osafu, detach yourself from everything alien and foreign, and unite in your common goal. Now you're 12 people, 12 different people, Baruch Hashem, one happy family, but you're different. Each one has his own, and that's why later on, when we get to the sukkah of the brachos, so he didn't say the same thing to each one. He said everyone that which he needed to hear. So there is such a thing as being good friends and having a good yachas to each other, but still having different ideas and different priorities and so on and so forth. So he says, at this point, I want you to leave all that behind. Thus, he osfu, detach yourself from everything alien and foreign and unite in your common goal. Be absorbed by what is common to all of you. Stand all of you on common ground. He osfu calls for spiritual concentration at one single point, for one single purpose, as our sages explain. He osfu means hitoaru, that's a Medrash Rabbe, 98.2. Literally, he osfu means be taken up by your common destiny. In other words, lose yourself entirely in your destiny, which I am going to be explaining to you now when I tell you, es asher yikro eschem ba'acharis hayomim. Now, why am I making such a fuss about he osfu, if I wanted to show you all the wonders which Rav Shamsa Forel Hirsch creates Kielu in his Perush and Chumash, we can have a nice long session together. So what's so important about this? Because it struck me very, very interestingly that this he osfu is echoed a little later in Bereshis. That's after the brachos and after the last thing that he tells the sons. It says, "Vayichal Yaakov lutzavos esbonav," that Yaakov ended with what he had to be mitzave his children. "Vayeesof raglov el hamito," and so he gathered in his feet onto the bed. "Vayigva vayosef el amov." Okay, now. This is a terrific pasuk in the context in which we've been talking till now. What does it mean by Ye'esof Raglav? Now, is that really so important that it has to be recorded in the Chumash? Right? He talked to his children like he gave them his oral tzavor ki'ilu, and now he's going to die. So, nafkamina, where the legs are at that moment of the Misa. Why does the Torah have to tell us Vayeesov Raglov El Hamito? And I believe, of course I can't tell you that it is so, and I certainly don't know any Chazal which makes this point, but Li Nire, and you, if you're listening to this shir, you have to make up your own mind, but ask a Rebbe or somebody, but I think that Vayeesov Raglov echoes the He Osfu. We learned that he osfu asher yikro eschem, he osfu v'agide lochem es asher yikro eschem. He osfu means leave everything behind, make your total concentration on what you're going to be doing now. Yeah, that's what we learned. So I think that that's what it means also, that Yaakov Avinu, none of his physicality was to remain in a physical world. I think that the bed over here, on which Yaakov rested and on which he died now, when the moment came, so Vayeesov Raglov, he didn't leave anything outside. That mokom was ki'ilu, a mokom kodesh. I don't know whether you're going to be maskim to this, but I see very much, we've talked about these Rashis at the end of Devarim very much, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to die. So what does it say over there? Vayal Moshe me'avos moyov el ha'nevoi roish ha'pisgo asher al pnei yirecho. So Rashi says, me'avos moyov el ha'nevoi. So Rashi says, kamo malos hoyu. There were many, many steps leading up to the top of ha'nevoi. U'poso'on Moshe b'fusiyo achas. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go step by step by step by step. He took one huge step, and why you're up on the top of the mountain. So the Maral says over here, yeah, kamu malus dim loiken me avos moyov lomali. Why do you have to say he went from avos moyov? Yeah, that's where he was, so that's where he went from. But the Talmud says he went straight from avos moyov to the top of the mountain. That's what the Maral is saying. Dvada me avos moyov olo, dvavos moyov hoyo. V'im toimer v'lomo posim b'psiyo achas. What's so great? I mean, he wasn't doing gymnastics. Aber yesh ledaas, ki dover ze moire ala madrego ha-gedoilo, shehoye le moishe le'acha misosai, shehoye bo le madrego, asher ein shom chiluk klal. Chiluk has to do with physicality, the Maral is going to say a couple of lines down. But Moshe Rabbeinu in this moment was kulay ruchni. וכך פוסה כל המעלות בפסיר אחס, לא זו אחזו, שעוז היו דובק במעלות שיש חילוק. If it would have been step by step, so he would have been living in a world at that moment, which is not the yichud of the real emes. וכל דובק שיש חילוק, גשם או כוח בגשם. אבל מושה היו דובק במעלות שאין שום גשם, ולא מצטרף ומסייחס אל גשם. ולפיכך אין שם חילוק מעלוס, ולכן פוסם בפסיעו אחס. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Ozav, remember Ozav and Ozav, right? At this moment, the moment before Rabbeinu Shem took him, he rejected the entire physical world. No more chilukim. There's only one emes, and the ultimate emes, and that is the world in which I am now living. So that's I think that's an unbelievable thing, and of course we have to be mitzarev to that. We have to be mitzarev to that. The other Rashi, which is Meiledek also in itself. There's so much going on over here, but earlier in Vayeshev, so you have when they told Yaakov that Yosef had been killed. So what did Yaakov say? Ered el bni ovel sha'ola, vayev kasa ovev. I'm never going to be comforted. So Rashi says, ovel sha'ola kipshuto loshen kevahu, be'evli ekovev v'lo esnachem kol yomai. Uve midrosha gehinam. Simen zeho yomosa biyodi mipi hakvuro. Im lo yomus echad mebonai bechaya muftach ani she'eni roye gehinam. So I'm going to be Yered She'ola, I'm going to go to Gehinnom. Why? Because I have a Mesoira that the only way that I can be sure not to be going to Gehinnom is if all my sons are alive when I die. But if one of them, even one of them, is not alive anymore, so then I'm going to Gehinnom. What's going on? I think that these two Rashis, the one in Vayeshev, and the other ones in the end of Zois HaBrocha over there, and of course later on in Bereshis also the Hei Osfu, they all go together. What exactly was Yaakov trying to do when he said Hei Osfu v'agidu lochem es asher yikro eschem v'acharis hayomem? Why was that so important? In other words, in Yaakov's mind, he knows he's about to die, so just like Koise Gevir, like in the last moment, I guess he's going to say, these are the things that go to this son, whatever people do at such a moment. What was on Yaakov's mind that his sons should know Asher Yikro Eschem Ba'acharis Hayomem? Okay, we know the Rashi, that Ribbono Shel Olam didn't let, that the Shechina was nostalgic for him. It never happened. Azoi Zogt Chazal. But what was in Yaakov's mind? I don't know what was in Yaakov's mind, but I suspect that what was in Yaakov's mind was really connected with the Rashi's, which we learned just now. This idea that Yaakov wanted them to know the entire emes at this moment. Why? Because of this Messiah which he had. He wanted to be together with his children. That he knew that he was physically going to die, but he wanted that he and his children should remain one unit. I'll tell you the Chazal about that. I think I've mentioned it recently, but the Maral brings it in a couple of places, and it's one of these Chazalim which are like a wow shubba wow, that Yaakov and his sons, they together form a moshel, maybe, I don't know whether that's the right moshel, of a right terminology, a moshel of yichud, the achdus of the Rabbani Shalom, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We'll talk about that in a moment. But so the Chazal say, and the Ramaral brings it, that if you look at the family, so let's call Yaakov one. Yaakov was the last of the Ovos. He was a unique individuality, and he's one. Then comes the Shvatim. Now, the Shvatim, six of the Shvatim came from Leah. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. So they are Leah's children. So one and six is seven. Each one of the Shvachas had two children. So 2 plus 2 is 4, and 7 and 4 is 11. Rochel had two children, Yosef and Binyamin, and 11 and 2 is 13. So the one of Yaakov, together with the six of Leah, the two each of the Shvachas, and the two of Rochel, together makes 13. Echad, Aleph is 1, Ches is 8, Dalet is 4. 4 and 8 is 12, plus 1 is 13. The gematria of Echad is 13. Aleph, Ches, Dalet. So, my with the Gezach. So, I think that what Yaakov wanted to accomplish over here is the Yisoid that Yaakov Avinu loy mes. Chazal said that Yaakov Avinu never died. So Gemara asks, they were chayinat him and they buried him. So what does it mean that he never died? So what it means is, so Gemara says, Mikra Nidagash, it's a posuk in the Torah. And Gemara quotes a posuk where there's a hekesh between hu and zaroi, ma zaro b'chayim, av hu b'chayim, whatever these things mean. But at a superficial level, it's not even a superficial. It's not even a level of what we understand. I don't think we understand very much at all about it over here, but at least the words we do have, and apparently, the tachlis which Yaakov saw for himself was that he should never leave his children, that Yaakov Avinu should not die. Now, what does it mean he shouldn't die? He did die. Was it for nothing that they, whatever you call that, the chanita, the embalming, right? They embalmed him, they buried him. What does that mean? That means that his life was not physically, physically he's lying in the Moros of Machpelah. But mikro anidoresh, in the emes of the Torah, he never died. Why? Because Yaakov is needed to be mashlim the 13. What we see in these sugyas over here is that the Klal Yisrael as it exists, Klal Yisrael as it exists, is the projection of the yichud of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. That is what it's all about. And that yichud comes about through a combination between Yaakov and his sons. Without Yaakov, you're left with 12. 12 is not 13. Without the sons, you're left with 1. 1 is 1. And that is not something which is appropriate down in our physical world. So you need the combination of Yaakov and his sons. And I think that what Yaakov was doing over here, when he says, Heyosfu v'agide lachem, what's he saying? We saw in Lashon Shofar Hirsh. What he's saying is, concentrate. In other words, what I'm going to tell you now, achres hayomim, you must be totally concentrated. You must be completely separated from any physicality which earlier was part of your being. Nothing wrong with that. But at this particular point, that is not the mode in which you should function. In this mode now, when I'm giving you over the achres hayomim, so there, you have to divorce yourself from everything, just like later on when I am going to die. I'm going to take my feet and make sure that they should go into the bed. You know what I think that being oisef, the raglayim, into the bed reminds me very much of this this Yaakov Avinu, which we learned before, this Moshe Rabbeinu, that he went up in one leap and he didn't go up the stairs. In other words, it's a total rejection of everything physical. I mean, that's really what the Maharal was saying, right? It's a total rejection of everything that's physical. And I think that explains, and this I think I've talked about in some of the shiurim. And it's something that we really have to, every year when it comes to Simchas Torah, it's a new celebration of the potential of Klal Yisrael. So what does it say over there? That Vayal Moshe me'avos ma'ov el ha'nevo, rosh ha'pizgo, asher al p'nei yirecho, v'yareyu, and the Rebbeinu Shem showed him, Hashem es kol ha'oretz es agilot adam, ves kol naftali, ves eretz Ephraim and Menashe, ves kol eretz Yehuda at hayom ha'acharon. Rashi, ves kol naftali, heireu arzo, v'shalvoso v'churbono. He showed him the land of Naftali when it was in a happy, peaceful situation and when it was chorev. Ves eretz Ephraim uMenashe, hereyu atzam b'churbono uveshalvosa. Ves kol eretz Yehuda b'churbono uveshalvosa. At hayom ha'acharon eretz ha'marav b'churbono uveshalvosa. I mean, what's going on? Like, why did he have to show to Moshe Rabbeinu all these places b'shalvosa uveshalvosa? Like, you know, I probably said it in the same lotion when I mentioned it in other shiurim, but it's so ununderstandable. Like, here's Moshe Rabbeinu dying. Why can't he have a little peace, right, in the last moments of his life? Show him the shalvosa. Why do you have to show him the churbona? Rashi doesn't say, and I don't know, I haven't really made any closer researches, but I certainly haven't seen anybody who explains it. But it seems to me that this was, and again you may remember that from an earlier shir, that this was a kiyum of the Lo Yirani Ha'odam Vochoy. I mean, when Moshe Rabbeinu, at what I suppose must have been the peak of his life, and that is then after the Chet Ha'Egel, when the Rebbeinu Shem was so disappointed in Klal Yisrael Ki'ilu, and he says, look, I just want to get rid of them. Yeah, he doesn't take Amcho, he doesn't even call them. He saw a terrible situation. And Moshe Rabbeinu, step by step by step by step in Ruchnias, right, tefillah by tefillah by tefillah by tefillah, was able to be mevatel all these gezeiras, and Rebbeinu Shem said, okay, I'm going to come with you, I'm going to be with you. Wonderful, it's going to be wonderful. And at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu dared to make the biggest request of all, Hareini no es kavodecha. And on that, the Rebbeinu Shem said, no, lo yirani ha'odam v'chay. Now, what was that covered which Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be able to see, and which the Rebbeinu Shem says, no, you can't. No, I don't know. And I'm sure that there are all kinds of Sisri Torah involved over here, which I wouldn't know anything about. But as a taich of the words in Chumash, Harinu is Kevodecho, as a posuk in Yecheskel. So what's the posuk say? The posuk says that there's going to be a Chilul Hashem when the Goyim see Am Hashem Ele Ome'atzom Yotzol. When, if you're going to send your Yidden into Golos, it's going to create a terrible Chilul Hashem, because people are going to say, the Goyim are going to say, Am Hashem Ele, these Jews are supposed to be his special people, and he can't even keep them in the land. Ome'atzom Yotzol. I mean, that's the key to understanding all the horrors which are happening nowadays. Ranisham should be merachem, that everything should be come out for the best. B'chubana chas v'sholam. So the pshat is like this. Hareini no es kvaidecho is, I understand why the Yeshuas which you bring about are big Kiddush Hashem. But what about the Churbona? Isn't that a Chilul Hashem? Am Hashem Eile Ume'atzam Yotzohu? Isn't that a Chilul Hashem? So where's the Kovet Hashem in that? So the Rabbi Nisham said, Lo Yirani Ha'odam V'chol. That's not something which you can understand while you're still alive. And I think that Moshe Rabbeinu understood in the last moments of his life, when he had already left the physicality behind him by leaping up to the top of the mountain as he did, so he was already ki'ilu cut off from the physical, from the physicality of this world. So there the Ribbono Shel'olam showed him not only the binyona, but the shalvosa, but also the churbona. Namely, he showed him the toiv of the churban. He allowed him finally to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu, in these last few moments of his life, had already shed whatever chesroinus there are in any kind of physicality. So Moshe Rabbeinu had shed that already. And now the Rav Anshom said, now you can understand the Churbona also. And that is, I think, what Yaakov Avinu, now nobody makes this comparison, at least nobody that I ever saw. So again, please don't be macabre as any kind of an MS, I don't know. I hope that in some way it may touch on something, but I'll tell you what I think. I think that this Heosfu v'agidelochem esa sheyikro eschem v'acharis hayomim, that Yaakov Avinu was trying to teach his children the truths which he understood, and which Moshe Rabbeinu at the end also understood. In other words, that he wanted to tell them the Achris HaYomim. What is Achris HaYomim? Achris HaYomim is after Mashiach will have come. And Achris HaYomim will open up an entirely new world to us. And people will understand things which we didn't understand till now. That Gemara says that nowadays we say both Dain Emes and Bar Minon, a tragedy or a sorrow. But then they'll say Boruch HaToiv BaMeitiv on everything. And that is, I think, what Moshe Rabbeinu experienced there. That the Ribbono Shel'olam taught him to say Ki'ilu HaToiv BaMeitiv on the Churbono also. And I think that is what Yaakov Avinu wanted to do over here. That Yaakov Avinu wanted to teach them Achris HaYomim. He wanted to give his sons who he realized he needed Ke'ilu for his own Echad, that his one, well, I guess what the mathematics yields is this. Yaakov Avinu was number one. No, so number one, there you have undiluted Yichud. Yeah, but Yaakov belonged into the upper spheres. Yes, his Diukna was Chorus on the Kisei HaKovet. So over there, the Yichud is completely undiluted. But what's going to be down here in this world? And the Maharal says over there that is really why the Ribbono Shel'olam took away the Ruach HaKodesh. The Shechinah was mistalek, and he did not allow Yaakov to do what he had thought ought to be done. And the Maharal explains it to the extent that I understood what he says, is that he says that's impossible. That means to bring down Yichud into this physical world where everything is a blatant contradiction to Yichud. There are so many conflicting forces and this and that. You know, we all have some hasogas of what our physical world is like. So who's going to teach Klal Yisrael, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? If you go and take your sons, that means if you go and take the 12 which need to augment your one to create a 13, so if you're going to take them and tell them everything, all the secrets, that means that you make them into Achris HaYomim Dikka kind of Yidden, and make them for all intents and purposes what Yaakov himself was, namely a creature of the Elyonim, not of the Tachtonim at all. So then the Yichud which they will teach will be completely beyond the people down here who are living heart and soul, or I might say of certainly bodies, as a part of a physical entity. So they need to learn the secrets of Yichud from people who share in their physicality. And that is what seems to be the cheshbon of the Ribbono Shel Olam to take away the Shechina from Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain had reached a point where that was possible, to shed the complete concept of physicality in its totality. But if you're going to do that to the Bnei Yaakov, the latter 12 of the 13, which is Echad, so then there's not going to be any communication between them and the people down here. So to teach Yichud, you need to have somebody who has a shaychus to physicality. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam paskened that it was inappropriate to be megale the kates to them at this point. So what do we know about Yichud over here? We talk to know about Yichud only what the Shvatim told us, not what Yaakov Avinu taught us. We didn't hear, the Maharal makes this point, that we didn't hear Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad from Yaakov. Not because Yaakov wasn't miyachid the shame of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he was miyachided at the level of the Elyonim. He was belonged to the, that was the deal he had made with Esau, everybody remembers that. But the Shvatim did live down here in this world, and it is through them that our hasogas of Yichud have any kind of meaningful basis for us. So I think it's time to stop this, and look. I hope that you agree with some of the points which sort of became clear to me as I was thinking this morning about this shir, this gzeira shova, which Chazal, as far as I know, don't make it, but which I made of the osap of the hay osfu with hirsh, together with the Vayas fame that the feet of Yaakov Avinu. I mean, it doesn't say this in Chazal, at least not where I know where it would be. But I think that it's a legitimate reading of the text to the extent, as long as we know where the Gevulim are and don't try to cross into areas in which we are not welcome.